welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. And if we have timed this right, it is the 200th episode of Fool's Daily. Happy birthday, everybody.
Thank you.
Don't know what to say after that, Conrad.
Sorry.
Yes. The concerning thing is that many of the audience will think that that was coming out of his mouth. It wasn't.
It's his new high-fiber diet.
It is. And we should say, congratulations, Conrad, half a stone.
7.5 pounds lost. Woohoo.
Woo woo. Well done, mate.
Well done. See, that's what we should see. This, I think we should just change the topic to Lee Food Nazi Patrick's forcing all gamers to be thin.
I'm not forcing gamers to be thin. I'm just hopefully being an example. Or was it, as people told me, an inspiration?
There you go.
An inspiration.
You are my inspiration, sir.
Gosh, that's just scary. See, what happens now if I, you know, if I just, like, you know, go back on it and 2 years later I'm a tub of lard again and everyone's like, yeah, you know.
I'll chastise you heavily.
Well, not that heavily.
Yeah.
Because you've just lost half a stone.
No, yeah. Yes. Exactly.
You'll chastise me lightly.
Chastise you.
I said we weren't going to talk about 50 Shades of Grey.
Sorry.
So, 200th episode. We have a slightly smaller Conrad. We have a massively smaller Lee Batrick.
Hello.
And we have a slightly smaller Mike.
Well, no, you're a lot smaller than when I first met you.
No, well, that is true. Don't give me that no back talk, sucker. And we also have Mr. T.
Oh, dear.
Those of you who used to listen to Malifools will remember a memorable episode with Mr. T. He was brilliant on that episode. So we ummed and ahed about a topic for our 200th episode. And I actually went and listened to our 100th episode and realised why there was a reason that I wrote in the commentary, this is just a car crash waiting to happen. Because it was. But today, we have a topic, and the topic we have settled on is gaming with your family.
Yes.
Which I would argue is possibly the nirvana for pretty much every, certainly married, wargamer.
Oh, it's fraught with dangers as well, though, isn't it?
Oh, see? This is what makes it an interesting topic. So, all three of us are either married or have been in relationships that are pretty much marriage. All of us have had, I'm sure, have had that disapproving look from our significant other going, you spent how much? Don't make me mad.
Oh, I didn't realise Mrs. Bat was on the line as well.
So how have you succeeded in, or have you succeeded in getting your family to game with you?
I have. I've managed bits and bobs and still working on it. My wife is adamant that she's never going to play any games, although she now plays Zombicide, more board games than when we first got together. And obviously I managed to talk her into completely playtesting for Weird as well.
Yes, you've done very, very well.
It's cost me. It's cost me massively.
2 stone.
No, the weights, nothing to do with that. It's, you know, I'm not saying it's been easy. You know, I have had to buck up and do more around the house, and it's cost me, you know,
emotional turmoil.
Yes. Well, actually, I've kind of just pushed more duties on the kids, if I'm honest.
It's called delegation.
No, it's not. Apparently, it's child slavery.
And
but child line won't
building.
Admit it.
So, how did you go about it?
Zombicide was really, really easy. We started playing board games more. My son's favourite is Escape from Atlantis.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember that one where you've got the you set the island up, put your pieces on, and you've got to escape to this site. The island's around the edge. And he likes that because you can, instead of rolling dice, there's a spinner. and we've got the sort of really old one where you spin it and there's a ball bearing in a plastic thing and it goes around and it tells you whether or not the octopuses dive or dolphins move or any of that sort of stuff.
Right.
So he loves that. And we started to play that a little bit more, but my wife's very anti playing something a lot. She won't play the same game week in, week out.
Right.
So we started sort of moving around a little bit. And then for my birthday, I got a load of cash off different people and I got, she put the rest in and bought me Zombicide. And it's the first kind of game that my oldest daughter has wanted to play, actually wanted to play. You know, she'll come in and she'll say, oh, should we play that? And me and Lauren can be at loggerheads at times. So Terry just caved in and played that because it's something the two of us will do together without whinging at each other. So, you know, peer pressure kicked in. So she's managed that. And from that, I've managed, you know, to do other things. And I mean, the playtesting was the most difficult bit.
Yeah.
You know, for the starter set for Weird. But when I went back to her and sort of said, you know, it seems fine. And she read through it and her sort of reactions with how things had been laid out weren't great. So I sort of managed to get, but we'd done that for a month. But she did tell me she never wants to speak to me or see a model again for a month afterwards. So I don't know, luck really. Luck and lots of washing up, back massages, stuff like that.
Back massages are dangerous, though.
Why?
Can lead to all sorts of things.
Yeah, but that's in my favour, isn't it? Anyway, sorry.
Conrad, how about you? Have you succeeded with your family?
Well, the two oldest kids, we've always played games, so they've always been interested in kind of what I was doing. So I think we dabbled in some of the early GW games. This is probably going back about 20 years, actually, like Quest and things like that. Potentially right. Even played a bit of Blood Bowl. But that's just with the kids. The only time Anne gets involved in anything is if there's some sort of competitive nature involved and usually quiz questions. So
right.
The traditional, what's the one with the pies?
Trivial Pursuit.
Trivial Pursuit. She loves that. I think.
Have you tried her on Cards Against Humanity?
Well, no, we'll come to that. We'll come to that in a minute. We'll come to that in a minute. So, as they got older, obviously we got our own two as well. And
yeah.
I think they've had games, board games like Atmosphere. Do you remember that? The video game. Video
yeah.
board
oh,
game.
Oh, yeah. Atmosphere Fear is F-E-A-R.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things like that. The sort of novel type of games, which you'd play once or twice. I think there's been some sort of pop quiz and things like that, which have had a DVD involved in it as well. So,
yeah, now there's a whole load of them. I mean, we've got the DVD Star Wars game.
Yeah.
You just sort of put it in, you answer the questions and stuff, but it's no point playing that because Louis thrashes everyone.
And then, of course, there's the traditional thing like Monopoly and the various flavours of Monopoly as kids got them for Christmas, you know, whether it be Star Wars or Harry Potter or whatever. But you know what Monopoly's like. You know, Monopoly for us tabletop war gamers is like wearing a sackcloth, you know, with lead weights on. It's not... Well, it's a popular game, you know, you can't knock it really at the end of the day because it's a board game that brings people together. But in terms of the sort of things that we go for or we play, it's not necessarily got the attraction of
yes.
other games. So
do you not find that that allows you to lead on to other things with people?
Well,
I must admit, I had to use, like I say, Escape from Atlantis, Cluedo, although that was a bit hard with Louis, Pac-Man, all those kind of things to actually get them with big toyish game pieces to get them interested. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. I think the bottom line is that the games that we've ended up playing are the games that you would play between games, or you know, when you're drinking at an event or something like that. So we have played Cash with Guns at home, and Cards Against Humanity has come out. I got Carly that for a Christmas present 2 years ago, and there was a lot of alcohol involved at the time as well, and it was an absolute scream. But we've played Botswana as well, and Perudo. But anything more complicated than that, it starts to become a bit of an issue. I can potentially get some of the kids involved, but Anne won't necessarily play.
Right.
So I could never play like Settlers of Catan or Attack Queen or anything like that. But the sort of simpler, more interactive games are something that can be played.
Okay. That's interesting. I mean,
we actually played, what was this called? It's the one, Double. We played Double the other day as well.
Which one's Double?
It's the round card game that Joel did an episode over.
Oh, yes.
And it's a nice little game, that is, actually.
I haven't played that one. I mean,
Perudo? Perudo, the dice game as well, we've played.
Yeah, I mean,
the boys were interested in
tabletop
War Machine for a little while, yeah. And they had a big interest in 40K, and they may have played it a couple of times, but then it just, it's too much effort for them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was, when I met Est, I mean, I was out with Games Workshop people, so there was never any hiding of my hobby, so.
No, same.
She always said that she would never play it, and not play, you know, those sorts of games. And we did, you know, the Monopoly and the Cluedo thing as well. But I think
Cluedo, that's a great game. I love it.
I hate Cluedo. I find it too easy. I hate Monopoly. The same reason I hate Monopoly is because there are certain strategies you can employ very quickly that you're pretty much guaranteed to win with. Take the oranges.
That's healthy, that is.
But we had that, and then I can't remember where it was. It was, oh no, I do. It was the first Malifaux tournament that you and I went to. So a few years ago now.
The doubles.
Yeah. And I played Flux for the first time. And I bought a copy of Flux, and we sat down, and because it was a card game, we sat down and we played Flux at home. And everyone really enjoyed it because, obviously, at the time, you know, I had a 12 and an 8-year-old. So you've got to get a game that's going to balance with them. And so we played Flux, and that sort of started it. But for us, like you, Lee, Zombicide was the breakthrough. Because, you know, it was a miniatures game, and we could all sit down and play Zombicide.
Yeah, well, I must admit, the zombie side thing came from playing it with you and talking to your youngest about it. She was telling me all about her favourite characters and how she did this. And that sort of gave me the idea, you know, well, maybe that's something I can get away with.
There's a certain amount of engagement there, and it's an interactive, sorry, it's a cooperative thing as well. So you're working together. So I think that's a big thing as well.
That has proved to be the massive thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Terry likes, although I do have a tendency to find that it's only part cooperative at our house.
Yes,
my kids are more than happy to save my wife, but they're more than happy to leave me alone. I have seen both of the kids run off with the Molotov while I'm trapped in a room with the A-bomb coming towards me.
They probably think it's extremely funny.
Oh, they do. They think killing dad's off even more fun.
Ah, kids.
No comment.
Yeah. But I mean, Zombicide was definitely our breakthrough game. And then I sort of cascaded then, because then I was able to do things like, you know, traditional things like, well, more traditional things like Talisman.
Yeah.
Able to get them to play that.
See, that reminds me of Monopoly Talisman.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of it. But then I was able to get them to play things like more Euro board games, like Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride is a great game, but it's competitive, but it's a great game as well.
Interestingly, it doesn't have the same sort of competitive issue, I think. I mean, certainly in our house, you know, you don't get that sort of, you're all against me sort of thing, because it is much more of a balanced competitive, if you see what I mean.
Yep. I used to play a game, which I've still got, called Railway Rivals. It's a GW game.
Yep.
And you had to draw the tracks. It's the same sort of idea as Ticket to Ride, but you had a map of Britain and you had to draw your tracks on hexes. Yes. on the map. And then once everyone had gone through this whole building phase, you had races between certain points on the map. And if you didn't have track that ran all the way between them, you could pay other people to use some of their track use it. It was a really good game.
I remember the game. I never had it, but I do remember the game. I often think that one day what we should do is we should do an old school 80s board game day.
That would be good. And
just, you know, dig out things like Chainsaw Warrior and the various. I've got a couple of the GW ones that were released in the late 80s. You know, Stephen Hand was very prolific at that point in writing games. So I've got the Fury of Dracula game.
Yep, I've got that one, the original one.
Yeah, I've got mine's the original as well.
I managed to pick up a copy of Apocalypse as well off that Facebook group that...
I don't have Apocalypse, but I do have Blood Royale.
Yep, I've got Blood Royale.
So many counters in that game.
It's a great game though as well.
It is brilliant, but it is a day. Yep. To sit down. And that's what I don't have. But I have found a lot of interesting board games that we play with. And Rebecca, as she's got older, has started to look at things like Board Game Geek.
Yep.
And the Will Wheaton Show. I can't remember what it's called. Table Flip?
What's it called?
Which one's Table Flip?
I don't think it's Table Flip. I know which one you mean, though. It's because I get the emails from them.
All right. But she watches those, and so she reckons. So that's where we got things like Dixit from, because it had been recommended on there. And that's a beautiful little game. You know, there's just so many beautiful little board games, I think. I haven't been successful in getting them into playing tabletop games. Rebecca has dabbled, but has never sort of
committed. It's just called Tabletop, isn't it? It's on the Geek and Sundry channel.
Is it? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't watch it because I don't like Will Wheaton. Whenever I see him, I'm just reminded of why I hated episodes that he was in of Star Trek Next Generation.
He had some good episodes as well.
No, he didn't. He was always, aha, with one band I shall set you free. Sorry.
Anyway.
But we have played a lot of board games, and going to tournaments and playing board games in the evening and things just gives me new ideas for stuff to buy. And I have Joel Henry to blame for Rebecca's latest obsession, which is Crossmaster.
I was going to say, because that does look like it's going to be an obsession.
Well, we've played it a couple of times. We haven't bought any extra stuff for it yet because we're waiting. There's a new version. Well, there's a different version coming out next month called Crossmaster Arena.
No, that's already out, Arena. It's Crossmaster Quest, I think.
Oh, Crossmaster Quest, sorry.
Yeah.
I've got the wrong way around. But that's next. That's next month, which is basically a dungeon crawl using the same models.
Oh, cool.
And I'm pretty much convinced that it means that I'll sell my Super Dungeon Explorer stuff.
Oh, what? Because that will be the one that you're going to do then?
Yeah, because that will be the one that I do.
The game is good, though, isn't it?
Oh, Crossmaster! I really enjoyed the game that we played. I'm looking forward to getting some more characters for it to, you know, branch out. It's one of those games that you have to get grabbed by the miniatures, and there are some that I don't have that I really like, preferable to the ones that are in the starter box. I don't know if they're any good, but I like the figures. But I do expect that I will end up selling my Super Dungeon Explorer and playing that in playing Arena in Quest instead.
Well, especially if you've got something, it goes back to the same thing with all games, though, isn't it? It's you're happy to collect something until you find someone you can actually play something you're with. If you've got a family that wants to play it, or even if it's just you and Bex wants to play it, you've got a reason to collect it then.
Yes.
Which is kind of the same sort of thing that I've got with the Star Trek Attack Wing with Louis at the moment. You know, he was all into it to start with.
Yeah, and it's when they're not. I mean, it's like me and Relic Knights, to be honest. You know, Bex was very excited about Relic Knights because one of her big things is anime and, you know, that anime styling and stuff. And it's getting over... What I find is it's getting over the hurdle of going from painted to unpainted to painted miniatures. And that's where something like Crossmaster excels, in that you don't have to put in the painting, but it is still, you know, it's not, you're not playing with grey plastics. That's the one thing that is disappointing almost about Zombicide.
Yeah.
Is that you're just playing with, and you know, it's a board game. Of course, you're just playing with single coloured models, but it would be nice if you could get effectively, you know, pre-paints, as it were.
I'm sure there's services out there that'll do it for you if you wanted to, but
yeah, but it
costs you a fortune.
They cost a shed load, don't they?
Yeah.
And do you want to invest that sort of money in a board game? Would you just play a little bit at a time sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Which is why Crossmaster has such an appeal, because it comes pre-painted, essentially, or pre-coloured.
Yes, and that you're exactly right. That's exactly why.
What was that game we played at last year with where you were blowing the buildings down and flicking?
Rampage.
Now, I think that would be a game that I want to buy, because I think the kids... Well, sorry, not the kids. I think the family will enjoy it.
We bought after that that game that we played at the event last year. We bought a copy and we've played it a couple of times, and it has gone down really well.
Yeah.
But then it's hard to tell with families. I think. I mean, you know, one of our favourites is Love Letter,
which is a simple game, really, isn't it?
I mean, it's £7 for Love Letter. It has eight cards in it, something like that. And it's brilliant. It's just such a brilliantly designed set of rules and such a brilliantly designed game that it goes down really well. I mean, it's like Botswana.
Yep.
And in that sort of respect, it's just a very easy thing. So we're wittering on. So this is going to be, obviously, this is going to be a longer episode than normal. I mean, what would be your hints to get for people who are looking to get their significant other to play?
I think you're looking at sort of the qualities of games that, you know, you when you're playing the game, that you'll get the people playing it or the family will get something out of it. So do you want it to be conflictual, you know, or cause conflict and the situation where Lee's being left to dry, essentially, or do you want a cooperative game? You've got to be careful with genres, I think, as well, because something like Rampage may not immediately appeal to people because it's about, you know, your kaijus raging around. But then when you actually get into the game, it's the whole way that you play the game and that interaction and the silliness that makes you enjoy the game. So what do you want out of it, really, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's actually a good point. But I don't know, because my lot loved Rampage.
Mm.
King of Tokyo, they didn't care about at all.
They probably wouldn't if they've played Rampage. Because
Well, no, they played King of Tokyo first, but never wanted to go back to it. So they didn't get the mechanics of King of Tokyo didn't pull them in.
Yeah, so there's no visual sort of connection. There's no connection there, basically, is there?
No, whereas Rampage, because of the mechanics, because you're blowing and you're flicking and there's no dice to roll and stuff,
yep.
They really, really enjoy.
I think the only complexity in Rampage is working out the colours for your scoring sort of thing.
Yes.
And the extra powers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've got... Will the genre of the game capture... Will that be an immediate problem for the family? If so, will the game carry itself and overcome the genre to allow you to... everyone to enjoy it?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that I backed out of the Conan Kickstarter.
Because it's going to be...
Well, I mean,
the wrong flavour of game.
It's not the right flavour of game for people to play. I mean, from a accounting point of view, you were getting a metric ton of stuff in that Kickstarter. You know, because every stretch goal was another free model.
Yep.
So you're getting a ton of plastic. And then I kept on looking at it, and I kept thinking, I'm getting loads of stuff here. But then I kept on looking at it and going, I'm never going to play it. Who am I going to play this game with?
Yep.
You know, locally we don't play a massive amount of board games, and when we do play board games, they tend to be the simpler ones because we want to get through multiples, or we're playing tabletop games.
And they have to have an element of fun about them, so that you enjoy them, which makes you want to play the game.
Yeah, and it's not going to appeal to the family, so. I took my money out of that and put it into Ghostbusters instead, because that will appeal to the family.
Yeah, see, Ghostbusters is one that I think I can get away with. I haven't seen any gameplay or anything. I only kind of flicked at the pictures and whatnot. But that seems like another zombie side, which hopefully, because it's a content that Louis will like more than zombies, that, you know, I'll get to play more often.
Yeah.
Not that he has a problem with getting Dad being eaten, but the time when he lost, he put him off last time.
But do you talking about the games, do you ever want them to play? You may have like a game that you remember. We were talking about Blood Royale, for instance, which I feel is a really nice game. It's got a lot of elegance to it, and it's got a lot of interactive pieces, bits to it, you know, in terms of traveling and wall and all that sort of stuff, and as well as the whole empire building side of things. And you start thinking to yourself, if only they could see what I could see and enjoy the game, then we could play it. There's always that sort of nirvana place that you want to go to, but you've got to tone it in and get the games that they'll enjoy, basically, so that they don't completely dislike board games and say to you, no, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, I think it's... You've got to get the buy-in, and I think it's mechanics that appeal to them. It's how much fun the game is to play. I'm not convinced that it's... I think Zombicide definitely works because it is the cooperative element, but I'm not convinced that if it's all against all, it's bad.
Yeah.
Games where it's a dungeon master versus the rest, I don't think, you know, I just with my lot aren't going to work.
No. If my wife thought that there was going to be any kind of ganging up other than everyone ganging up on me, she wouldn't be interested.
Yeah.
Because the last thing we need in our house, and it might just be my house, the last thing I need in my house is us arguing about something we're meant to be enjoying. And I think for my family gaming, that's what we've had to have. We've had to have things where if there is a little bit of competitiveness, that's not too bad. But you can't single out someone. Because, you know, a game of Malifaux is not going to work for my wife because it's her versus someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if we were doing a doubles game between me and the boy versus her and Lauren, I'm sure she'd, and we were laughing and joking and stuff. I'm sure she'd play if she wanted to.
Yeah.
But the fact of she quite liked the Tokyo one because she liked the mechanic, and it was, you know, that kind of I got away with, but we don't play it very often.
Right.
And she point blankly refuses to play a lot of the other stuff we have anyway. But it's the how we've all got along and how we've had to do something together. And that's the only way I've got through to her to play stuff.
Yeah.
You don't want something where you, it's a relaxing, it's meant to be a relaxing experience and a fun experience. So you don't want anything where you're having to use your head too much, and you want an experience where they're having fun, and you want an experience where there's not a lot of downtime if it's a turn-based game, so that people are always engaged as well. Because as soon as you get that downtime, your mind starts wandering and the boredom sets in, you know, and the non-enjoyment sets in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if it's, you know, you were talking about Blood Royale, I mean, if it's going to go on too long, then my lot aren't going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, Zombicide is the only one that gets around that
yep.
thing. It's why things like Flux work.
Yeah, you've got to know that it's not going to take a long time. There's going to be a sort of a pretty much start and end time that they've having experienced the game, that they know they're not going to be there for hours and hours, sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, unlike this episode of Fool's Daily.
Exactly right.
Which has gone on for hours and hours. So we probably should stop.
Okay.
Because, you know, what does Mr. T think?
Quit your jibber jabber.
That's exactly what we should do, Mr. T. You are spot on. So, quick, looking forward to the next 100 episodes. Will we do another 100 episodes?
I think we will, yep. I think we need content, so there's still that appeal for people to either provide subjects for content or record and send it in, as has been done by some people out there. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you know, some people started off their podcasting careers recording stuff for this. I know stuff that we've got coming up. I'm going to do some more work with I've forgotten who I'm going to do work with now. Who am I going to do work with? Who am I going to talk to?
Other people.
Oh, we're going to talk with Carl from
Thunders.
Open Thunder.
Yep.
Who else are we going to talk with? I keep saying that I'm going to get Andy from Heresy on. And so in the next 100 episodes, I'm going to get Andy from Heresy on, because I want to know that, I want to know what it's like to be a small miniature producer. I thought we might get that Lee Battery bloke on to talk about bendy boards and what's going to happen to bendy boards this year.
We're going to talk to Spartan.
Yep. We've set up some time to, we're going to talk with Spartan Games about their massive Halo announcement and just generally how it's going. Which I think will be very interesting, because we've had people on, you know, from bigger companies like Weird before, and we've had people who are just starting out like Carl from Open Combat. I think it'll be nice to have someone who's sort of in that mid tier type thing, just to talk about the industry. We're going to have Holly Rose on a lot more to talk sci-fi.
Woohoo!
And things like that. Go and back her Kickstarter. Go. Make Raygun and Starburst happen. I think, you know, and then just general mucking about, really.
There's also another episode, a potentially thing we talked about last year in the last 100, about talking to maybe Lilo about, he's set up his own games day type thing for Dicini, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. No, we have. Yeah, we'll be doing that. And then
we have our quarterly hobby reviews as well.
Quarterly hobby reviews.
Which
and
is coming up soon.
One day, I might get my Wrath of Kings stuff, like everyone else who's got theirs already.
I haven't got mine yet. I will be getting it today.
Hasn't Mark got his today, Mark?
Yes.
Hasn't he posted pictures of it today?
Yeah, and Stephen Rose got his yesterday.
Oh, cool. Don't they live, like, within 20 miles?
You can go off people quite quickly, can't you?
You can. Mine's still in bloody Germany.
Wait, no, the email says it's in Germany.
No, the tracking thing says it's in Germany.
Well, maybe that bit fell off. I'll go.
We're all going to go.
Wait a minute. Can I just say goodbye first this time, so I don't speak over everyone?
Oh, all right. So you don't speak over it. Okay. So,
What do you have to say?
That you've been Lee.
Oh, yes, it. Oh, yeah, I've been Lee.
I've been Mike.
I've been Conrad, and he's been...
First name, mister. Middle name, period. Last name, G.
Bye-bye.
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 You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter. We're at Fools_Daily or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.